ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जपाश्च परमो गुह्यः श्रूयतां मे नृपात्मजा यं सप्तारत्रं प्रथतं पुमां पश्यति केचरान् जपाश्च परमो गुह्यः श्रूयतां मे नृपात्मजा यं सप्तरात्रं पततन् प्रपतन् पुमान् पश्यति केचरान् जपाचा. The chanting mantra in this connection. Maybe it's chanting the mantra, but it says the chanting mantra. Parama, very, very, like supreme. Goyaha, confidential. Shruyatam, please hear. Me, from me. Nripa Atmaja, O son of the king. Yam, which? Sapta ratram, 7 nights. Prapatan, chanting. Puman, a person. Pashyati, can see. Kecharan, human beings who travel in space. Listen to this, what we just chanted. O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra which is to be chanted with this process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. Special mantra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Within this universe, there is a planet called Siddha Loka. The inhabitants of Siddha Loka are, by nature, perfect in the yoga achievements, which are of 8 varieties. One can become smaller than the smallest, lighter than the lightest, bigger than the biggest. One can immediately get whatever he likes. One can even create a planet, etc. These are some of the yogic perfections by virtue of Laghima Siddhi, or purificatory process to become lighter than the lightest. The inhabitants of Siddha Loka can fly in the sky without airplanes or airships. It is hinted herein by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj that by meditating upon the transcendental form of the Lord and at the same time chanting the mantra, one becomes so perfect within 7 days, like an advertisement. Or money back, guaranteed. No. That he can see the human beings who fly in the sky. Narada Muni uses the word japa, which indicates that the mantra is to be chanted, that the mantra to be chanted is very confidential. One may ask, If it is confidential, why is it being mentioned in writing in the Srimad Bhagavatam? How confidential is that? It is confidential in this sense. One may receive a published mantra anywhere, but unless it is accepted through the chain of disciplic succession, the mantra does not act. It is said by authoritative sources that any mantra chanted without having been received from the disciplic succession has no efficacy. Transcendental. Paragraph. Another point established in this verse is that meditation should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. The meditation previously on the form of the Lord should be carried on with the chanting of a mantra. Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the easiest process of meditation in this age. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, he sees the form of Krishna. Yes? No? Why not? Rama. And their energies. And that is the perfect stage of trance. One should not artificially try to see the form of the Lord while chanting Hare Krishna. But when the chanting is performed defenselessly, the Lord will automatically reveal himself to the view of the chanter. The chanter, therefore, has to concentrate on hearing the vibration. And without extra endeavor on his part, that's the chanter's part, the Lord will automatically appear. Japascha paramo guyam shruyatam me nripatmaja yam sapta ratram prapatam puman pashati kecharan. So in case you wanted to see the siddhas flying in sky, we now have the means to do that. A little qualifier is there. You have to chant defenselessly. O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra which is to be chanted with this process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky. Puman Pashati Kecharan. It doesn't explain why that objective is mentioned in the verse specifically, because Dhruva has not given at all an indication, oh, I really want to see the siddhas flying in the sky. At least indirectly, the indication is higher stages of consciousness or higher levels of accessing realities that are happening that otherwise covered people can't detect. One can access those higher realities. But ultimately, within the purport also, as mentioned, one can see the form of the Lord. So there's the meditation of the form of the Lord that's been in detail described. As was previously mentioned, Dhruva Maharaj, although he was little, he was already trained in the Ashtanga Yoga system. So he knew the basics. And now it's embellishment of those basics. So while sitting properly and in the proper place by sacred river and so forth and so on, the mind being fixed upon this detailed description of the form of the Lord goes on. And simultaneously, the mantra. There's technical things that Prabhupada doesn't bring out here too much. Japa is a particular, so there's in Hari Bhakti Vilas, I believe it is, there are different nomenclatures or terminologies for different types of chanting. And like Gayatri mantras are to be chanted silently. And with japa, there are stages also of chanting and of japa, and one of them is silent. One of them is, Prabhupada is translated in the Krishna book, murmuring. Like, you know, the brahmanas enter into the river Jamuna and they say their prayers murmuring. So just meaning loud enough only so that you can hear it. Because Vedic mantras are confidential. And so confidential mantras are to be chanted confidentially so that they're only within the mind, or so that someone can, only the person uttering them, murmuring them, can hear. Because they're confidential, so they're chanted in that way. And then another is audible. The Prabhupada has given us the instruction, as far as my awareness is, that we should chant audibly. That is, we should hear. Not just chant in the mind, but we should hear. Remember that chart of nine things from Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Hear. So not just hear in the mind, but hear with the ear. So it's audible. Confidential mantras, just like the mantra that's going to be given in the next verse, that's at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's a Vedic mantra, and it's not to be chanted audibly. It's not to be chanted so many can hear. There's this classic story where Ramanujacharya was given mantra by his spiritual master, Om Namo Narayanaya. And he told him, here's the benefits that come from this chanting of this mantra, but it should be not disclosed to others. Gostipurna, I think, was the person who gave, Mahapurna, gave him the mantra. So Ramanujacharya began to consider, wow, if this mantra is so wonderful, then the benefit should be given to everybody. So he climbed up on a tall tower or some tall structure and called everybody in all directions, come here, this mantra. Om Namo Narayana. And Mahapurna heard, and your disciple is doing this. So he came and chastised him. I told you not to do this, and now you're doing this. He said, I accept all the reactions for disobeying your instructions, but what I want is to give the benefit to others so they can also receive all these wonderful fruits of chanting. And Mahapurna said, I accept you as my spiritual master. You are more merciful than I am. I mean, that's a little extraordinary. One shouldn't violate the instructions of the spiritual master. But it's a very nice transcendental exchange between Mahapurna and Ramanujacharya, where he appreciated, you know, in other words, the sincerity and the purity of his offering to Krishna, or to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was so genuine. It's like the gopis saying, please take the dust from my feet and relieve the Lord of his headache. We'll go to hell, that's okay. Something like that mood. For the benefit of others, the compassion of Ramanujacharya was there. So, confidential mantras are to be chanted confidentially. There are practices that go on where people ensemble chant Brahma Gayatri. I've been in assemblies where that goes on, and what, you know, what's processing is when I have that experience, there's no efficacy. It's not to be chanted that way. And what to speak of, where did they receive it? They probably received it, just as Prabhupada is saying, from a book. So like, you know, let's say Hari Bhakti Vilas, for example. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, for those that if you have not read Hari Bhakti Vilas, you can know that the sannyas mantra is printed. So you can go to Hari Bhakti Vilas, take the sannyas mantra and chant it. But that doesn't make one a sannyasi. There's no efficacy. Because within that same section of mantras, there's this verse that in, I don't recall the Sanskrit of the verse, but it says that one who has received mantra, this may be useful to you sometime in the future in your interactions with persons who have received mantra and they want to know, can I also take initiation within Hare Krishna movement? Is that okay? So, from Hari Bhakti Vilas, authoritatively, if one has not received mantra in the cyclic succession, there's two things that are said. It will not bear fruit, and one should receive initiation again, specifically again. Punaha, again. So, meaning the first time it's a kula guru is commonly what happens, not always, but it's very common, one receives some mantra from a family guru. And in that case, someone can be specifically instructed on the authority of scripture, yes. And even if someone has received mantra in disciplic succession, Gayatri mantra, for example, they can certainly chant the Hare Krishna mantra and be encouraged to fully participate in the practices of the Hare Krishna movement. Now, those other mantras, depending upon their sentiment, it may mean something or not something, but from scripture, it has no effect. No transcendental, the fruit of which the mantra is supposed to bring is connection directly with the Personality of Godhead. Now that gets into this, I'm expecting a Donna Kelly question on this one. That, well, it says in the purport there's no efficacy, but the holy name of the Lord is absolute, so how can we reconcile these two things? Right? I know Donna Kelly. So, the name of the Lord is absolute. And so that falls into the category of Nam Abhas. What's Nam Abhas? Nam Abhas is where one is not, it's not Shuddhanam. It's not the pure holy name. So it doesn't have the effect of the pure holy name. It certainly has some effect, but having no efficacy means the efficacy of the pure holy name. It has the effect of relieving one of reactions to one's sinful deeds, even if it's done in these other ways. Someone reads something in a book and then chants this something, this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There's definitely spiritual benefit, but not up to that level of what's described at the end of the purport. But by combining this meditation on the form of the Lord and chanting of the mantra, without extra endeavor on his part, the Lord will automatically appear. That fruit will not come. That efficacy will not happen. Because it's abhas. One will become cleansed. There is some effect, but not up to that level. It's like, very much like, the discussion that takes place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's discussed in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's discussed more detail at the home of Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, the father and the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, where Haridas Thakur comes to their place, Ramakeli, and they're having some sadhu sangha. They invite the brahmanas to come and they have a discussion on the topic of the holy name. And one brahmana says, the chanting of the holy name according to scripture is so wonderful that just by chanting the holy name, one can become freed from all sinful reactions. And another brahmana said, more than that, one can achieve liberation from material existence, which is quite similar to being freed from the modes of material nature and one's past karma. And Haridas says, no, no, no. That's just a reflection of the holy name. The holy name can deliver love of God. And Gopal Chapo, one Brahmin in the assembly, became enraged and said, how can you say this? People that are very strenuously practicing standards of Brahminical austerity and sacrifice for lifetimes, years and years and lifetimes, they can't achieve that. And you're saying, just through the chanting of the holy name, all of that's accomplished? If it is not so, then I will cut off the nose on your face. And Haridas Thakur said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. It's true. And he recited scripture indicating. So, benefit comes, but not the full benefit. From Namabhas, there's benefit. But not the same with one who chants mantra that doesn't know what the meaning is or doesn't receive it from the proper person. There's benefit. But that benefit can also be, can lead to an impersonal conception. That is, if one receives that understanding of chanting from an impersonalist, it can lead one down the path of impersonalism through the medium of chanting. And that's not very good. So one should be careful to receive mantra and chant mantra in that way through disciplic succession. So the good news is Narada is in that position, and what he's giving to Dhruva is that kind of qualified chanting. Now, one last point I'd like to make is that this incident takes place during Satya Yuga. It's not Kali Yuga. We're in Kali Yuga. Satya Yuga, Dhyan Yoga, meditation process is recommended. So, meditation upon what? Meditation upon the form of the Lord as the Ashtanga process has it. That's been described. It's nice to know that the chanting of the holy name is joined with that meditation process. In fact, it's a meditation unto itself. In our age, it's simply the name. In the Dhyan Yoga process, at least that specific process is given by Narada, because what Kapila Dev describes earlier is also Satya Yuga, this combining of meditation on the form and meditation upon the name is not presented in the same way that it's presented here, but meditation upon the form of the Lord, super soul within the heart, his four-armed forms with the symbols of Vishnu and so on. It's all described here. That even in Satya Yuga, there's writings by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that expresses that while the chanting of the holy name is the means for deliverance in Kali Yuga, it's not that there's no chanting of the holy name in Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga, where yajna is performed. When there's yajna, there's chanting a mantra. And guess what happens when there's mantra chanting? There's names of the Lord. At least in the very beginning, the bhokta of the yajna is expressed as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by name. His name is invoked. And in deity worship, the name of the Lord is invoked. And in Kali Yuga, just chant the holy name. We can combine with deity worship, we do. We can combine with the performance of yajna with the chanting of mantra, we do. We can combine with some meditation, we do. Mantra meditation specifically. And gradually, so one should not try to see the form of the Lord. That question comes up. Should I try to see the form of the Lord within my mind or in a picture form? Or one can do those things, but in our age, the primary process is attention goes to the holy name. And anything that helps bring attention to the holy name, we're glad to accept. Our goal is attention focused upon the holy name. So tomorrow's verse won't be here, but it's very nice. It's he gives him the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 12-syllable mantra for worshipping Lord Krishna. Joined with, as Prabhupada has translated it, joined with, he's described it in terms of deity worship. What Narada has given him is in essence, a deity worship within his mind, or seeing the form of the Lord and then making offerings unto the Lord within his mind. But the translation Prabhupada gives is the physical, meaning the deity form of the Lord. This is Satya Yuga, where Dhyan Yoga is a primary process. And with that also some control of the senses, some austerities to help make the mind peaceful, the senses brought under control. And then it's very effective, as we'll hear. Okay, so any questions or comments? Jai Jagannath.
Maybe mantra 15 or 16, I don't remember. Prabhupada describes different types of realized persons, Ramabhati, Prabhupada, and Ashwarabhati. And he says for Ramabhati, they don't realize the potency of the Lord, because they were one on the Lord. And he says for the yogis, they only realize the material potency of the Lord, because they're meditating on Paramatma, which is the material energy of the Guru Shri Avatars. So my question is, how is it that meditation can not initiate transcendence? instrumental when they're realizing only the material forces.
What was the last part? When they're
realizing only the material forces in the world.
Well, it leads to, where does that material potency come from? Their hankering is not for a relationship with the Lord. Their hankering is for siddhis. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami, sakale ashanta. So if they're aspirant, because there may be persons like Dhruva, under Narada's direction, where their meditation is upon Paramatma, not just to connect with material potencies, although that's where he starts with also, I want his kingdom. And the mystics, they want siddhis. You know, that's their program. That's the fuel in their tank. They want siddhis. And it may stop there, but it may continue. So the processes of bhakti can gradually continue if one doesn't get, like Prabhupada describes in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, last purport, a position in yoga may be identified according to where they're situated. But if they're continuing, then that can in effect be bhakti, a stage of bhakti for that person, because they're continuing on to the Lord and His service, rather than simply obtaining siddhis or material powers that are under the control of Supersoul. So they have to go to the Supersoul because he's the controller of those powers, and then because that's their desire, they get access to those powers. That's like a pious, materially inclined person approaches God for wealth or some kind of well-being, material well-being. And that's the fruit of their piety. That's it. So a yogi, they want mystic powers. It's more subtle. But either, if continuing properly, especially with proper guidance, can go beyond that stage. Yeah.
I just wanted some clarification on the point that if somebody chants the Hare Krishna mantra by receiving it in a published way, he may chant Namavas and get the results of Namavas. But if somebody chants the Hare Krishna mantra received in the Sukha succession, he has the potential to chant Shudanam, which bears the fruit of Prima Bhakti. Yeah. So we always hear that in this Kali Yuga, there's a very special opportunity to chant Premanam because it's being received in the Siddha succession from Nanda and So my question is, in other yugas, such as Jyoti Gaurapara, and even the other Kali Yugas, where the mantra is given not by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but by Gaurapara, so when people receive the Hare Krishna mantra, or do they receive the Hare Krishna mantra in a specific succession, or do they only chant Namavas?
No. But that attainment of Shuddha Nam is Vaikuntha. The distinction is Vaikuntha, not Braja or Goloka Vrindavan. That's the distinction. They can chant Shuddha Nam. They can attain that stage and go to Vaikuntha.
Okay, so even in other cultures.
Yeah, sure. And like this case, Satyu. Where did Dhruva, what was his attainment? He attained perfection. His chanting was Shuddha at the end. And he attained Vaikuntha. He had to do some service here first, then Vaikuntha.
Okay. And just one other question. Sometimes people challenge that if we read Prabhupada's books and we're receiving the Hare Krishna mantra, in Prabhupada's books, that that's also ever reading Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's books, that if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, well, that's we say that that's incorrect, everyone has to have that actual official initiation.
What was the punchline of your question?
Well, some people challenge that you don't.
Yeah, I got the argument. What was the punchline of the question?
So I'm just saying, so we would disagree with that.
Yes. There's a wonderful purport, long purport, in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is discussing this. And he says, very logical, that the chanting of Krishna's, just as Krishna is independent, the chanting of Krishna's holy name is independent. It's not dependent on anything else. The Puryascharya Vidhis, which we don't even know about because we don't have to worry about them, but there are stages that one has to prepare oneself to enter into the performance of a yajna or the performance of anything auspicious, and one need not pay attention to any of that. And just simply chant the holy name. Now, he doesn't discuss where one receives the holy name, but he just makes a statement. Chanting the holy name is sufficient. And in this long purport, it's largely referencing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are many scriptural references that are presented, and I'll just, you know, the synopsis is, if you're on the level of Shukadeva Goswami, you don't need initiation. If you're not on the level of Shukadeva Goswami, you also need initiation as a means of getting the full benefit. Because what is initiation? It's one of the samskaras. But you know, the holy name is independent. The holy name isn't dependent on samskaras. Krishna is independent. But you know, when one is conditioned and covered as we are, we require that formal impression to help carry us to the stage of Shutanam. Although the holy name is independent. So, is it possible? Look at Shukadeva Goswami, the answer is yes, it's possible. And for the rest of us, it's not going to happen. We require certain vidhis. And then there's those that imitate Shukadeva Goswami or Haridas Thakur or the Goswamis of Vrindavan, and they don't have the adhikar, they don't have the qualification to attain. So there's there's no real submission, and that real submission is the essence. But like those that take Prabhupada's books, the real submission is you follow what it says in the books, which is you require initiation and direction from a bona fide spiritual master. It's all over the place in Prabhupada's books. But I can ignore that and just say all I need is Prabhupada's books and chanting the holy name, and I can achieve perfection. Excuse me, there's something missing in this picture. Anything else? Yes.
What is the purpose of the following shloka? Why should we read that in this yoga? Because
why should we need it? Why should we need it?
Why should we need the shloka of that, where if we chant that for 7 days, then we'll be able to fly? What is the purpose of
that? No, it doesn't say you can fly. It says you'll be able to see those. At the very beginning I explained. The purpose is not a perk. You do this and you get an ice cream cone with a cherry on the top and some nice whipped cream. It's not like that. I stressed. It's one can enter into higher realms of consciousness that ordinary consciousness can't access. And what Prabhupada does in the purport is that he explains that, and then he takes it to the ultimate level. The ultimate level is not, you can see the Supreme Lord face, he will disclose himself and come before you if he so desires, if you become sufficiently pure. So no, we'll just go back again. It's not a perk to like get you to participate in the program. It's I'm expressing third time now. It's an indication that there are higher realms of consciousness that one can access. For example. But that's not the ideal attainment. The ideal attainment was expressed previously. By this process, one can see the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serve Him personally. That's coming up in the next... Let me read the next verse. It might help. Right after this one, you know, the 7 days, and see the siddhas flying in the sky. This is the 12-syllable mantra for worshipping Lord Krishna. One should install the physical form of the Lord, and with the chanting of the mantra, one should offer flowers and fruits and other varieties of foodstuffs exactly according to the rules and regulations prescribed by authorities. But this should be done in consideration of place, time, and attendant conveniences and inconveniences. So that will happen, keep going, and one will be before the Lord. Higher states of consciousness and beyond that is directly worshiping the Supreme Lord. That's the objective. This other thing will happen. Here's the objective. But
the problem is, it is still not something very valuable. For example,
That's right. You're right.
So when the Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness is scientific, in a scientific process, we have a hypothesis, we have an experiment, and we have a result.
Correct.
So when we chant the holy name, we have some experience that, you know, there is a, it's a way, it's, I take it as an experiment. And then,
fine. I do.
So with some amount of faith, this process that it is scientific, but to have, to, for me, it's a mantra which cannot be verified, at least in this day and age, for me, in this yuga. So how can I take that as a scientific process?
How can you not see this scientific process? It's a scientific process. Huh?
Because I do not have the tools.
Well, you have to do the experiment, right? Before you can verify it.
How do I do the experiment?
Join us.
But there is, in an experiment, I need someone who can do this.
Okay. There's people that can do it with you, show you and do it with you. That's part of the experiment. Sadhu Sangha, part of the experiment.
No, I mean this is specifically about the process of being able to see flying.
Oh. Are you interested in seeing the flying? Yes, you are? Okay. Stick with the process. If that's the desire, then Krishna may disclose that to you. He may not also. Now, if you were to say, Maharaj, how long have you been chanting, and have you seen any flying siddhas? The answer is, a number of years, and no, I haven't seen any flying siddhas, and I'm not really interested in that either. And if I saw some flying siddhas, I might go, wow, that's far out. That means, you know, that's one of the, you know, removal of coverings. Like, let's just say, let's say astrology. You know what astrology is, right? So, I don't know much about astrology. I've never really had an interest in astrology. But supposing I somehow got interested in astrology. So, you know, I look up at the sky and I see all these things up there. And those things are influencing me. So I can learn the textbook part of it. And then, supposing my consciousness becomes more elevated, and I can actually perceive, like through the agency of Supersoul, I can perceive something. that there is this influence upon me, that previously there was this influence, I just didn't recognize it because my attention was elsewhere. Now my attention is on this influence that's upon me, just from these things up in the sky. But from a transcendent, so that's some realization. If I want, I can go down that path. I don't care to go down that path. That may happen of its own accord, and I still don't care. There's one thing I care about. That's the relationship with Krishna. So there may be things that happen in between here and there. That's interesting. I'm going to keep going. There's a very beautiful book, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that just describes this journey of one young boy named Gopa Kumar, up to the, through so many experiences, up to the Goloka Vrindavan. And so many things happen in between here and there. And they're fascinating for a while, but it doesn't fulfill his inner desire, which is to meet his Lord, Madan Gopal. Because he received this mantra from his guru, Jana Sharma, to chant the Madan Gopal mantra. And he told him, through chanting this Madan Gopal mantra, you'll meet Madan Gopal. So he had so many experiences in between that were the indirect byproduct of that chanting and the elevation that came from it. But he wasn't, it was interesting for a while, but it didn't fulfill his innermost desire. So it's something like that. And that's also, I may not experience what Gopal Kumar experienced. I may not see the siddhas flying in the sky. And, frankly, it's fine with me to not see the siddhas flying in the sky. And if I did, big deal. So why is it mentioned in the Bhagavatam? I explained that there are higher realms of consciousness. If you want to do an experiment, do the experiment the goal is your focus. And after performing the experiment for some period of time, you can evaluate subjectively. For me, the experiment did not work. I predict, because it's scientific, there'll be an effect. You'll feel something. And now you have to match that something with indications that are found in Scripture. What's that something? Was it imagination, hallucination, too much carbon dioxide maybe? Some kind of scientific explanation of why that experience happened. But you go to the Scripture and there's benchmarks of, on the path to Krishna, there are certain things that you will experience. I'm going to ask him to take the microphone from you after this. Go ahead, one more time. Go ahead.
This experiment is very, very viable and performable in this day and age.
Yes, yes. Specific for this age. Specific. Not what Dhruva was for Satya Yuga, but the chanting of the holy name. This is Satya Yuga. This is a Purana. This is Bhagavat. Purana means history. It's giving a history of something that happened in the life of an individual, Dhruva, whereby he attained spiritual perfection. It's history. Now, how does that apply to me? That's your question? In this whole science? That the science of it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is at the heart of this story, this narration, this history, and one who hears about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it's a bygone age, it's elevating because the subject matter is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee. Therefore, it's elevating. And I'm interested. I'm not interested in seeing siddhas. I'm interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becoming elevated. Our lady in the back, she wants to add to this discussion. Oh, you have another point. Okay, great.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to sort of follow what the message you were saying. I wanted to ask a question, make sure I understand it correctly before let me give you a scenario. If a person is reading about Krishna and the mantras and chanting, we've mentioned about initiation,
If that person has no other means of being initiated, say they're somewhere in another country where there are no spiritual masters, and they may have convinced other people to become devotees, and they're all following the principles, would that person not reach Godhead? Or
that person will certainly make spiritual progress. From our discussion the other day, I think I know what you're speaking about. That person will certainly make spiritual progress, but in the course of making spiritual progress, as Donna Kelly was referring to, there's Prabhupada's books that are guiding how do I make that spiritual progress. And in those books it says you must have a spiritual master, must receive initiation from a bona fide spiritual. So that sincere individual will go, I'm making spiritual progress, now I need to make this additional step. And they will. And that's part of submission under the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our disciplic succession. Because it's not just Prabhupada said it, it's our disciplic succession. So that step will be taken. But now your question specifically is, well, what if they don't? Will they go back to Godhead? Well, you know, go back to Godhead is where there's full submission to the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. Yeah, but the short answer is where there's a when there is a, such a sincere desire, Krishna will make an arrangement. It can be, the arrangement can be from a distance. Krishna can make an arrangement for that sincere soul. And it may be a distant arrangement, but the arrangement can be made. Guaranteed. I can give you, you know, some suggestions of how it can be done. It can be done. Where the will, there's a will, Krishna will fulfill it. It can be done. And it's a formal acceptance, a formal submission, and a formal acceptance. Now, let's be a little broader and say, is it possible to get a degree from a university without going to the university? Yes. The university can grant an honorary degree. It's, you know, Elton John got an honorary degree from Oxford University. The guy's, you know, not a very scholarly person. But, you know, that's not so common. The common thing is you enroll at the university and go through the courses and you get the degree. And then you're, you know, you're a graduate of that institution. So it's certainly possible for Krishna to take somebody without any formality. Certainly possible. We gave the example of Shukadeva Goswami. It's explicit. He did not receive any formal initiation, although he received instructions from his father. And no question what his destination is. So is it possible? Sure. So better to not count on getting an honorary degree. We should enroll in the university and follow the program. That's the instruction that we receive in the scripture. For those that are following Srila Prabhupada in his disciplic succession, which he's representing, that should be done. And there are ways to do it. Even in remote places, there's ways to do it. It may have been Bhanu Swami, it may have been another devotee that became a translator in Japanese. But somebody received a book and they read the book. And then they wrote to the VBTs about, you know, because that's where the book came from. I'd like to take initiation. I'd like to follow this process and receive initiation. So remotely, Prabhupada initiated this devotee. And there's other, it's to be formalized. And then There can be a relationship without formalizing, but it's to be formalized. It can be done. Yes?
My question is similar to getting something that was discussed. You said that if we hear the holy name in the association of a person, that's with an impersonalist.
One can become tinged with impersonal conception, and spiritual life can be greatly harmed if not spoiled. I mean, I had that experience when I was first being introduced to Eastern practices. There was a fellow that was traveling around. Baba Ram Das was the fellow's name. And he was a former professor at Harvard University. And so he was a very gifted speaker and a spiritual seeker and, an LSD guy. And he came back from India, Baba Ram Das, from Richard Alpert, and he was chanting, did the college circuit, chanting Hare Krishna. And I didn't know the difference between one thing and another thing, so, I liked chanting Hare Krishna. But when he spoke, I didn't understand the message, and of course, fast forward, I started to understand his message. And the message was, through chanting, you become Krishna. He didn't say it directly. It was cloaked. But behind the cloak was a dagger. And the dagger was, you kill your spiritual life. Because his statement repeatedly was, become one with the chant. That sounded like cool, become one with the chant. Become one with the chant. And then he started elaborating. In the beginning, it's you and the chant. And you and the chant. But after some time, it's just the chant. And then I realized what he was saying. I said, forget this guy. I like chanting, but if Krishna has to become me or I become Krishna, poor Krishna. No way. So I parted ways with that person.
It seems like association is more powerful than holy name, or the anagas is more powerful than holy name.
You said two different things. Chanting is more powerful than anarthas.
Seems to be more powerful than the cleansing effect of the holy name.
But it's like, this example. Milk is a very nutritious foodstuff. But you put some poison in the milk, and what happens? You die. Although milk is a nutritious foodstuff. So similarly, one should hear the chanting of the holy name from a purified soul, as far as possible. And certainly not from the lips of one who has put some poison in it. It's subtle. It's a spiritual subtlety. I can give another example. Some of you heard this before, but there are a group of people called Sahajiyas. They like to chant Hare Krishna too. So a group of them, and I read about it in Prabhupada's books, but I never saw it's like, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, waddles like a duck, must be a duck. So, it's a group of Bengali minstrels came to the temple. This is, 1974, 75, in Mayapur. So at that time, there was only the Lotus Building, and that's where the temple was. Prabhupada's quarter was upstairs. So they came in, and I was out in the yard, the lawn, chanting japa. And they went inside and they started this kirtan. It sounded, wow, nice kirtan. I saw Prabhupada come to the balcony. He looked over the balcony, listened immediately. I couldn't hear him, but he was motioning for his servant to come. and, you know, motioned that they should be kicked out. They were just having kirtan. But within a short period of time, he recognized right away, just from the quality of the sound. After about 10 minutes, they were rolling on the ground and crying and wailing and flailing their arms and, you know, in ecstasy, right? And so these, you know, big American guys came down and, you know, picked them up, little Bengalis and scrawny guys, and tossed them out. With their girlfriends coming behind them. And then as they were walking to the gate, they pulled out their beedies and began smoking beedies. And then Prabhupada, you know, he was on fire. He said, immediately, clean the whole temple room and have 24-hour kirtan in the temple room to purify the atmosphere. Although they were chanting Hare Krishna in a sahajiya mood. Along with the rest of that, you know, that we didn't have the misfortune of having to experience all the rest that goes along with what they just did. It's contaminating. It was an interesting lesson. Okay? One more question. One last question.
We see that the devotees are not so, for some reason, not so pure, but they are giving guidance to others, and sometimes it's very obvious for their impurities. So, but we hear the holy name from those devotees.
That's okay. It's provided they're under the guidance of Rupa Goswami and the followers of Rupa Goswami. So that association is just fine. That doesn't mean, you know, I put on the blinders and I turn off my brain and I can't think in terms of what the scripture says. One that still discriminates, but it's not the same at all. Because the very means that they're taking up, including having kirtan, worshipping the deity, trying to serve the Vaishnavas, that's the means of their purification. Provided they're following that means of purification sincerely, it's just fine. We don't, let's say it the other way, we don't have a little meter over there in the Pujari room, and each person that sits down to lead kirtan, we hook them up with the meter to find out, you know, what's their purity of Krishna consciousness level? Okay, you can lead kirtan. I'm sorry, sir, you can't lead kirtan. The meter shows you don't meet that standard. But there are some things that, you know, if somebody is obnoxious and offensive, and I'm sorry, but we're not going to have you lead kirtan. Well, it's for purification. Okay. For purification in your home. But, you know, anyway, and show that you can be a humble Vaishnava and respect other Vaishnavas, and then you can lead kirtan. So some standards are there. The discriminating faculty is to be exercised, for sure. But one who's following the path of Rupa Goswami, it's not detrimental that one hears from that person. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.